Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The angel Gabriel had visited Mary, and he told her about her cousin Elizabeth, saying, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary believed the angel, and she trusted in the Lord's promise for herself and for her cousin. She was to bear a child who would be called Holy, the Son of God. "Let it be to me according to your word," she said. And off she went in haste to visit her expecting cousin. Off she went, bearer of the word made flesh. As a living tabernacle, Mary carried God in her womb. Wherever she went, there also was the presence of God. This was made clear when she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. For with her arrival, something extraordinary happened in Elizabeth's already extraordinary year. At the sound of Mary's voice, the baby, who Elizabeth would have called Zechariah Jr., leaped in her womb. The forerunner of Christ did a somersault in utero, his first witness to the one whose sandals he was not worthy to stoop down and untie. At just 24 weeks, even before the third trimester, the future baptizer began announcing already that here was the living God right in their midst. With a simple flip, he prepared the way of the Lord. There was no smoke. There were no seraphim or cherubim, no trumpets blaring, no burning coal. Just flesh and blood carried within the flesh and blood of the Virgin. Human yet divine, begotten of the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, if Elizabeth marveled at the miracle of her own late-in-life pregnancy, she surely must have had her mind blown by the arrival of God in her own house. She must have been surprised that her own young cousin was the one chosen by God to bear his son. 2,000 years later, we are at risk of finding this all to be rather humdrum. We are used to reading about God's pregnancy miracles in Scripture. Sarah, Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary, we know this story really well. Maybe we even use it in support of our pro-life cause. But we forget sometimes the shock of finding ourselves at the receiving end of God's mercy, and we forget the awesomeness of being in God's presence. Moses trembled and took off his shoes. Isaiah cried out in woe, sure that God would smite him. John leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and shouted out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The example of these saints reminds us of what it means to fear, love, and trust God. It reminds us of what true humility is, to believe what the Lord has promised, to accept what he gives us as his gift. Elizabeth doesn't say to Mary, "Woe to you, for you haven't even had a chance yet to start a career." Mary doesn't say, "My soul is burdened by this choice." Zechariah doesn't say, "Cursed be the Lord God of Israel, for I am much too old to stay up with a crying baby all night." The shepherds don't say, "Let us go over to Bethlehem tomorrow when it is more convenient for us." Simeon doesn't say, "Lord, you should let me decide when it is time to depart in peace." Instead, they all put their lives in the hands of God. They put their trust in his promise and word. Into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things, we pray, with our fingers crossed. Because we really don't like to give up control of our lives. We don't like to give up what we think we can control. Let me decide, O Lord, when to make or end life. Let me decide, O Lord, if I will be sick or well. Let me decide, O Lord, where I will live, what my station in life will be, how much money I will make, if my kids will be healthy, if I will be a success in the eyes of the world. That's how our sinful flesh would have it. We would be in control. I would make my own decisions about my life. And I would royally mess it up, because we always get it wrong. Our selfish selves love our self-interests best. Our selfish selves really don't care about our neighbor. But that is why Mary bore Jesus. She allowed God to do according to his word and bring that incarnate word into the world to save the world, to save us from our selfishness, to remove the stain of sin, to take on our sin, and to bear the yoke and burden of death in our place. The tiny unborn baby whom Mary is carrying is righteous. He does not love himself more than his neighbor. He unselfishly lets God do his work. He lets God kill and make alive, even to the point of death on the cross. In baptism, he gives Jesus' holiness to you as a gift, covering you in his own righteousness, smothering your selfishness so that God sees only love instead, drowning your self-pity so that God sees only trust in its place. It's Christ's righteousness. It's Christ's holiness, but it's yours now on his account. You are clean, so you may step into God's holy presence up there atop that marble slab and listen to Mary and listen to Elizabeth and listen to the Holy Spirit, who alone gives you the faith to believe that there is a fulfillment of what God has spoken about the Lord. He is God in the flesh. He lived and died and rose again. He is with you to the end of the age. And this is his body, given into death for your sins. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.